Well, good morning. I had makeup on. I was composed. And then my sister tore me up. So now I don't know where the pages are. So just pray with me. She tore me up, but I'll get her for that later on. She wasn't supposed to do that today. I want to thank everyone for coming out today. I see all my family and friends, and I'm just blessed. I'm just so blessed right now. Let's give the choir a hand for beautiful, beautiful selections. I also want to thank our praise team. Can we give them a hand for beautiful? Thank you for the prayer, Miss Esther. And thank everyone on the podium, and thank everyone on this Women's Day Committee for their hard work in making this Women's Day special with a focus on how we can bear each other's burdens. I want to thank Pastor Golson for this opportunity. Still don't know why me, and I thank him anyway. And I also want to thank my sister, Alice Arline, for that beautiful introduction. I also want to acknowledge my family and friends who came to support me in person. I have to call out a couple of names, Linda, Angie, Belinda, Margaret, just so many of you, I can't even hardly see out there, but I just thank you all so much for coming. We've been friends for over 30 years, so it says a lot that they're here. There are also people online streaming, so for all of you who are streaming online, hello. Can you all join me in a word of prayer before I begin? Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for just being with us today. I thank you for True Light Baptist Church for just honoring women. I thank you, Lord, that we're all here to figure out how to be better at bearing one another's burdens. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your heart, in your sight, Lord. All these things I ask in your Son, Jesus' name, amen. So if you all can stand, we'll go to the book of Colossians and read the scripture. The scripture is coming from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And when you have it, can you say amen? Amen. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever do ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Thank you. Our theme today is women bearing one another's burdens. The objective statement for me today is to share why Christian women have a responsibility to bear one another's burdens and offer seven strategies to help us bear one another's burdens and to be more deliberate in our pursuit to be more like Jesus, where our love for him translates into love for others. The text today comes from the book of Colossians, and Paul was identified as the author. Colossae was a city in the Roman province of Asia, which is part of Turkey today. Colossae was a thriving city in the 5th century BC. Although the Colossian population was mainly Gentiles, there was a large Jewish settlement there as well. Several years after the Colossians church was founded, a dangerous heresy arose. Paul explained how the world's teachings are totally empty when compared with God's word. He challenged the Colossians to reject shallow answers and to live in union with Christ. We should constantly communicate with God through prayer. Paul also challenged the Christians at Colossae to put on the character of Christ and to express his love in the relationships with others. This is my message today, to be more like the Christians at Colossae and put on the character of Christ. Imagine you are clothing yourself every day, and in order to put on new garments, you have to take off the old. This is what we're constantly challenged with when we read the Bible. How do I change so I can be more like Christ, who is the author and blueprint for our bearing others' burdens? When I think about all the burdens he's lifted for me, my soul cries, hallelujah. For just a show of hands, how many of you have experienced God's grace and mercy in your time of need when your burdens were weighing you down? Overwhelming. I think about the song, Mario, that says, he'll never put more on me than I can bear. He'll never put more on me than I can bear. We should all shout, thank you, Lord. So what does it mean to bear one another's burdens? In order to get a clear picture of what it means, let's take a deeper look at Colossians 3:12, which states, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and longsuffering. What does it mean to put on these attributes? I want you to visualize you're clothing yourself, and the first thing you're putting on is tender mercies. Tender mercies is compassion for others. God's mercies are abundant and fresh every morning. Paul described God as the Father of all mercies. Kindness, as you put that on, it's about being cordial towards others. Kindness is rooted in a giving heart. Oprah Winfrey modeled this with her message on random acts of kindness, which we are modeling here at True Light. If you look in the lobby, there's a tree that shows random acts of kindness that women in the church have demonstrated throughout this Women's Day celebration. So please check out the tree on your way out. And put something up there if you've done something kind for someone. Humility. This is serving absent of accolades and applause. This is the opposite of arrogance and pride. Humility is an attitude which grows out of the recognition that all we are and everything we own are gifts from God. All we are and everything we own are gifts from God. Meekness. When I put on meekness, it's a kind, gentle, and humble spirit. The meek will find spiritual satisfaction and receive God's instruction. Paul cited meekness as one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 through 23. And finally, long-suffering. This is forbearance or patience, an attribute of God's nature, and we should exercise patience towards others. I'd like you to open your program, and there's a spot for you to write some down some key points from the message. And so if you want to go to page 3, the first thing I'd ask you to do is to write down which attribute describes you. Do you describe yourself as merciful, kind, humble, meek, patient, forgiving, gentle, and or loving? Take a moment and write down your word. And look to your neighbor, they can confirm it. Look to your neighbor. And what would you like to focus on to be more like Christ? For me, I've been described as a person that's kind, that's giving, and one of the attributes I need to get better at is patience. Not only patience for others, but patience for myself. So I am a work in progress. But do not be like the wife whose husband shared this story. A woman's husband had been slipping in and out of a coma for several months, yet she stayed by his bedside every single day. When he came to, he motioned her to come nearer. As she sat by him, he said, "You know what?" And she said, "What, dear?" He said, "You've been with me through all the bad times. When I got fired, you were there to support me. When my business failed, you were there by my side. When we lost the house, you gave me support. When my health started failing, you were still by my side." He said, "You know what?" She said, "What, dear?" "I think you bring me bad luck." So. No humor there. We do not want people to see us as giving bad luck, bad karma. We want to be a person that's giving the good news. So on a more serious note, our quiet presence during someone else's time of pain says more than any words of advice that you can ever give. A grieving widow, for example, does not need to hear our own tale of loss. She needs an arm around her shoulder so she realizes that she is not alone. Think about the times that we bring our burdens before the Lord in prayer. Simply experiencing his presence lightens the weight we've been carrying around. God's response to our pain is a clear demonstration of how important it is to make ourselves available and listen to our neighbors. No matter how inadequate we might feel, we can all share a burden by spending time with a friend who is enduring hardship. Our former First Lady, Michelle Obama's favorite quote is, "Accustom yourself continually to many acts of love, for they enkindle and melt the soul." Accustom yourself continually to many acts of love, for they enkindle and melt the soul. She was truly a model of love and respect and lots of class. Let me share 7 strategies to help us bear one another's burdens and be more deliberate in our pursuit to be more like Jesus. Our love for him must translate into love for others. This is not negotiable. You cannot love Jesus and hate your neighbors. It's not negotiable. 7 means completeness, and that's why I wanted to use 7 to really highlight the word bearing. Our theme text comes from bearing one another's burdens. So the B in bearing stands for be a model of Colossians 3:12. Jot that down. Be a model of Colossians 3:12. Put it in your spirit. Read it. Meditate on it. Every day when you dress, you should start your day by putting on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, patience, love, forgiveness, and gentleness. We have to constantly ask ourselves, what impression do people have of Christ when they see or talk to me? For some people, we're the only Bible they'll see. What impression? And then what changes do I need to make in order to live a life that honors Christ? The E in bearing stands for encourage one another with love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it always perseveres. This is out of 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. When I hear the scripture, I have to laugh because for the first couple years too, with my marriage to Ted, wave your hand so people can see you. He's ducking his head. He always gave me the same card every year. Same card, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. And for the first couple of years, I thought, well, maybe he's slipping. Maybe there's something I need to be paying attention to. So I started to watch him, and later on, I learned that it was deliberate and intentional to show his love and support for me. So thank you, Ted. As I prepared to talk to you, I reflected on so many times in my life that women have shown me random acts of kindness, tender mercies, and love. When I look out in the audience, I see my King Baptist family, Donna, my First Lady, Wendy, I see Margaret. I see so many members from previous churches, communities that I've been a part of, and it makes my heart smile because I have been blessed through dear, dear friends. We've all had seasons of grief, financial despair, loneliness, confusion, betrayal, troubled relationships, and ambivalence, where we didn't know which way to turn. In those times, we've had someone to lift us. We have a new pastor coming to us in a couple of weeks, and he shared an analogy of the space shuttle. And he said, and when the space shuttle is preparing to launch, they put power boosters on the end of the space shuttle to give it a lift. And once that shuttle is up in the air, the boosters come off. So for some of us, we need the boosters to stay on a little longer, depending upon where we are in life. So this is about how do we lift each other. I mean, sometimes we need lift in our struggles. Sometimes we just need lift to celebrate how well we've done in our life. The usher ministry at True Light Baptist has truly blessed me. That's the ministry I serve in with my dear friend Roslyn. True Light, our usher board, is amazing. We lift each other with hugs, smiles, text messages from Jeannie, and kind words every Sunday. So many other ministries at True Light lift women as well. Wonderful Women's Ministry, Deaconess Board, Greeter Ministry, and the Bereavement Ministry, just to name a few. If you are looking for a lift, join a ministry at True Light and let us lift you in your spiritual walk with Christ. I also want to thank my mother, Julia Ankrum, who is the model of bearing one another's burdens. Raise your hand, Mommy. You know, so many times we wait till people are gone before we give them flowers. I want to give her flowers today and say I love you and thank you. My mother is someone I continually strive to be like as a wife, as a mother, grandmother, sister, aunt, friend, and Christian woman. My mother volunteers at Denver Public Schools to help the children with disabilities, ranging from not being able to talk, to walk, to feed themselves, to take care of themselves, and it's emotionally draining. And I asked her, I said, Mom, why do you take on that role this time in your life? And her response to me was, those children need more love and support than the children who can take care of themselves. A beautiful example. God places the heaviest burden on those who can carry the weight. Jot that down. God places the heaviest burden on those who can carry the weight. If you're not carrying weight, you have to do a self-examination of why not you. The A in bearing stands for always be thankful. Thankful people can worship wholeheartedly. Gratitude opens our hearts to God's peace and enables us to put on love. Discontented people constantly calculate what is wrong with their lot in life. The Bible instructs us to be content in whatever state we are in. In order to increase our thankfulness, we need to take an inventory of all that we have in our relationships, memories, abilities, family, and material possessions. We should have prayers of gratitude and songs of thanksgiving. The messages about Christ and all its richness should fill our lives. When I hear testimonies about the tests that others have endured and made it to the other side, it inspires me. As we continue thinking about what we do best, shopping until we drop, look around the room, Macy's, Dillard's, a lot of stores were happy this weekend, if you just look around the room. And if you ever want to bless me, a Nordstrom's gift card will work anytime. That's my favorite place, Nordstrom's. We must remember, in all thy getting, we need to get an understanding of who God is. In all thy getting, we need to get an understanding of who God is. Our pastor shared in his book, The Matter of Relationships, he said, it isn't what we gain, but it's what we save that makes us rich. Write that down. It isn't what we gain, but it's what we save that makes us rich. Pick up a copy of his book on your way out, The Matter of Relationships. He has authored 5 books, so if you have $50, you can get all 5 copies today. So pick up a copy. The R in bearing stands for rejoice and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Christians should live in peace. To live in peace does not mean that suddenly all differences of opinion are eliminated, but it does require that loving Christians work together despite their differences. This requires a decision, not a feeling, to meet each other's needs. My Uncle Boot would say to us, anytime my aunts and people were carrying on, he'd say, nah, you're not the whole show. So turn to your neighbor and say, nah, you're not the whole show. You're not the whole show. Nah. And when I was a child, I thought that was so funny, nah, nah, nah. And I see it so relevant today with women. We're not the whole show. So to clothe ourselves with love leads to peace between individuals and among the body of believers. I want you to ask yourself, do problems in your relationships with other Christians cause open conflicts or mutual silence? There are a lot of hurt people in church who aren't speaking up. Think about what you can do to heal those relationships with love and an intention for peace. Paul suggests that we let Christ's peace be the umpire or referee in our heart. We must choose the actions that promote peace. If you think about a concept, thoughts determine actions. If I come into the church and my thought is, I'm going to be at peace with everyone, I'm going to have a different outcome than if I come into the church and say, if Sister So-and-so opens her mouth one more time, it's on. You get a different outcome, right? Our thoughts determine our actions. We have to be careful about what's in our mind. So I want you to study the Beatitudes and be the person that works for peace. Be the peacemaker and read on the scripture Matthew 5:9, the Beatitudes. The fifth strategy is the I in bearing. Imitate Christ's compassion and forgiving attitude. How many of you need to forgive more? Amen. Amen. Those who are the elect of God, holy and beloved, ought to be lowly and compassionate towards all. It is our duty to forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Thanksgiving to God helps to make us agreeable to all men. The gospel is the word of Christ. Many of us have the word, but it dwells in us poorly because we don't practice. The soul prospers when we are full of the scriptures and of the grace of Christ. When we repent and in faith seek the Lord, he graciously forgives our sins, hurls our iniquities, as it were, into the depths of the sea and remembers them no more. Some call this the sea of forgetfulness, the sea of forgetfulness. We have to forgive and let go so God can come in. We have to forgive and let go so God can come in. I love Pastor Golson's message where he shared that we may not know when Jesus died, we may not know when he rose, we may not know the Trinity, we may not know the deity, but we know enough. We know enough. We know enough to do the right thing. So let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. People do according to their own understanding. So if a person has not been taught right from wrong, they need our help. To those who know better should do better. Turn to your neighbor and say, I will do better because I know better. I will do better because I know better. Amen. So we are looking for some different behaviors because we know better. All right. The sixth strategy, the end and bearing. Nourish your soul with God's word. Nourish your soul with God's word. Read the Bible. Bible stands for basic instruction for biblical living eternally. Basic instruction for biblical living eternally. Our message today is about bearing one another's burdens, Colossians 3:12. With the best intentions, we do not always have the right impact. Sometimes our speech and our conversations can be more hurtful than we can imagine. Some sins of speech are anger, rage, slander, dirty language, gossiping, and lying. As women of God, we have to be careful with our speech. Proverbs 8:6-8 says, listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just, none of them crooked or perverse. The Holy Spirit will let us know when words are necessary and when it is the right moment to speak. I want you to write down three questions before you speak. Is it kind? Is it necessary? Is it helpful? Jot those down. Is it kind? Is it necessary? And is it helpful? If it doesn't meet those three criteria, we should not speak. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, which means bringing honor to Christ in every aspect or activity of daily living. As Christians, you represent Christ at all times, wherever you go and whatever you say. As I thought and prayed about this message, which was given the task was given, I felt so burdened. I asked, Lord, why me? I'm not worthy. I'm still a work in progress. I could not sleep or concentrate. And then I gave the pastor my speech to review, and it came back with red marks all over it. And I know you all are getting a visual in school where your paper came back marked up, and the tears came, and I couldn't sleep. And I gave it to Ted, and I said, what do you think? And he said, he only made a couple of notes. I said, oh, okay, I thought he said the whole thing was a mess. And then later on, I just continued to pray, and the burden was lifted when I realized all my pastor wanted was for me to be successful, and his intent was to be helpful. So thank you, Pastor. Thank you. I want you to think about all of your interactions and ask yourself, does my intentions match the impact? Does my intentions match the impact? If you walk into a meeting and after you're through, bodies are laying everywhere, you have to ask yourself, did I intend to hurt everyone in the room? We have to be accountable and responsible for our own behavior. Constantly ask, does my intent match the impact? I want you to visualize that I'm up here and I'm squeezing toothpaste out on this podium, which I would never do, but I'm squeezing it and the tube is empty. I can't put that toothpaste back. Once it's out, it's out. That's why we have to think about our conversations before we put it out there. We have to think about how we communicate as Christian women. The tongue is an unruly evil, and we have to be careful when we speak. We should be sharing how the Lord has worked in our life during a painful period. When we give the Holy Spirit total control, He will bring to mind situations, emotions, and the ways God has helped us. We can use all of those things to minister to others. Hurting people grab onto kindred stories as if to a lifetime. It gives them hope to reason that since the Lord shepherded one person through a valley of darkness, surely He's going to do the same for me. That's all hurt people want to know is, am I going to be okay at the end of this? They're looking for hope. So remember, hurt people hurt people. Jot that down. Hurt people hurt people. So if you see people hurting people, it's because they're hurting. Our job is to minister. And finally, the G in bearing stands for give of yourself, your time, your talent, and your treasures. I mentioned earlier that as we take off the old and put on the new, as we clothe ourselves to take on the character of Christ, the last garment we should put on daily is love. Love holds all the other garments in place. Be selfless and offer your time, talent, and treasures. When you can see others' burdens, yours have a tendency to become lighter. When I can look out and not in, my burdens seem very light. Our spirit-developed compassion may require us to give a burdened neighbor other types of help, babysitting, cooking a meal for the elderly, visiting the sick in a nursing home, paying it forward in the line at McDonald's when the car behind us has more children than we can count. Paying it forward. It's easy to pray for a friend and share our story with a church member, but we cannot limit ourselves to the building. We have to go outside and help those. Our job is always to be helpful and not hurtful. So in closing, we were only given 20 minutes, so in closing, to be perfectly honest with you, sometimes I do not have the words to make you feel better, but I do have the arms to give you a hug, ears to listen to whatever you want to talk about, and I have an aching heart to see you smile again. I have a friend today, Stacy, who's going to bury her father tomorrow, and my heart aches to see her smile again. I hope I helped you see that we do have a responsibility to bear one another's burdens, and our love for Christ should translate into love for others. No Christian should ever think that he or she is independent and does not need help from others. No one should feel excused from the task of helping one another. The body of Christ functions only when all the members work together. Those who are unconcerned about the affairs of their brethren and take no care when there's an opportunity to speak is not modeling what Christ has instructed us to do. Galatians 6:2 says, instructs us to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of God. So please remember the acronym BEARING, which stands for, the B is be a model of Colossians 3:12. The E stands for encourage one another with love. The A stands for always be thankful. The R stands for rejoice and let the peace of God rule in your heart. The I stands for imitate Christ's compassion and forgiving attitude. The N stands for nourish your soul with God's words. And the G stands for give of yourself. We know, or we should be curious of who is in need. There are prayer lists in the bulletin. There's observations of members who are missing in the congregation. There's a person wailing or crying next to us. We need to be aware. Yes. My dad, Robert Ankrum, who's in heaven, smiling down on me, always taught us the empty wagon makes the most noise. The empty wagon makes the most noise. There's a lot of clanging going on in the church from empty wagons. So my message today is to fill up your wagons. Fill up your wagons with tender mercies, forgiveness, kindness, humility, love, patience, and a kind spirit. Today can be a new beginning for some, and for others, it could be a more deliberate expression to say, I'm going to do better. And may God continue to bless and keep you, show his mercy, grace, and favor over your life so that you can be a blessing to others. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.